Them's Great. Fighting words. All right, John, after a reasonably good season in which he dealt with a lot of injuries, the Indiana Pacers gave Nate McMillan an extension on August the 12th. After the Pacers were swept out of the playoffs by Miami, McMillan was abruptly fired. Yes, it was a sweep, but McMillan was playing without Domantas Sabonis. He also had a somewhat limited Victor Oladipo, not fully back from injury. How could there be that much of a turnaround? Nate McMillan went from contract extension to fired in a two-week period.
I think the sweep kind of highlighted the fact that he had taken them as far as they felt they could go with Nate McMillan. There's another reason for this, Mace. You heard it here first. I think Mike D'Antoni is going to be the coach of the Pacers next year. I think it, and I think the likelihood of that happening goes way, way up if Houston loses tomorrow.
But why give him the friggin' extension if that's what you're planning?
I think they wanted to take care of him. I think they like him. And so they, you know, all these NBA teams have a lot of money. I think they didn't want to see Nate McMillan, you know, suffer. And so now he can go look for another job. If he doesn't get one, he's okay.
But Nate McMillan a coach of the year candidate?
No,
he's not at all.
No. Well, they already awarded it to Nick Nurse.
No, but I'm saying, wasn't he?
I don't think he got any votes.
You don't?
No, I think Nick Nurse got most of the votes and Billy Donovan came in second, if I remember correctly. I think, you know, Nate's never really had a deep playoff run. He was the coach of the Blazers before he was the coach of the Pacers. And he's very high regarded. He's got a great reputation. He's pretty good friends with Frank Vogel. Vogel hired him to be an assistant when Vogel was the head coach of the Pacers. But I think they can do better is the answer to your question.
Okay.
All right, Mace. Taco Fall, the Celtics 7'6" center, is learning how to swim while his team is stuck in the Orlando bubble.
Wow.
His swim teachers are two of his teammates, Jaylen Brown and Enes Kanter. And they take him to the pool every day and they teach him how to swim. Remember we learned that about Marcellus when he worked with us, that he had grown up in Compton. They didn't have a lot of swimming pools. He'd become an adult without ever learning how to swim. So he took a swim class and taught himself how to swim when he was like 40. It got me to thinking, let's say you can learn a new skill during the pandemic. It can be anything you want. You can learn how to play an instrument, learn how to cook, learn a new language, but you only get to pick one thing. What are you going with?
Quiero aprender español.
You want to learn how to speak Spanish?
Es posible. Yes. Hay que hacerlo. Es posible.
All right. So, Jorge, what are you doing? You get to learn one new thing during the pandemic, and whatever it is you try, you're going to learn it. So you're going to acquire this skill, but you have to pick one. What are you going with?
I want to learn how to fly an airplane.
Fly a plane. Now, Michael Thompson is
with me. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Lindsay, how about you?
Well, I was going to say learn how to speak Spanish, but Mason stole mine, so I'm going to go with, I would want to learn how to play basketball because I'm terrible at it.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I'm awful at it. I have the worst hand-eye coordination when it comes to dribbling.
So you have no handle?
No, none.
No handle. You're a catch-and-shoot girl.
You know, I would want to learn how to be like a really, really good cook, like a chef.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
I think that that's something that you could take with you for the rest of your life. You know, and be with you. And Mace, I think you could learn how to speak Spanish. Like Lisa, my wife, went and lived in Spain for a year and kind of picked up half of it.
Yeah.
Like you could do it without having to shut everything. I mean, I think you could probably learn Spanish on your own.
I'm starting to get it. Jorge, I'm starting to get it, right?
Yeah. You didn't sound bad when you said it. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to be able to do it someday. It may not be during the pandemic, but someday. All right, Dick's Sporting Goods reported record earnings and sales in the 3 months through June amid strong demand for health and fitness products as customers sheltered at home during the pandemic. Now, John, the only exercise equipment I own in the house is a yoga mat, a couple of blocks for doing yoga, and 7 pairs of dumbbells. What do you have in your house, and what kind of workouts are you doing?
We have an elliptical here. We have a I would say like a minor set of weights, but it's mostly like you said, like dumbbells and cords and core workout weights,
right,
and stuff
right.
like that. We have a lot of different like goofy yoga equipment. I also have a lot of recovery equipment. I have like besides the massage chair, I have a vibrating roller.
Oh, God.
I have a so I'm constantly doing.
And you promised me you were going to get me one of those vibrating massage chairs.
Oh no, I didn't.
I remember. My recollection is that you did.
Well, no. Here's once again, your recollection has failed. Here's how that went down. You said, I said, what do you really want for Christmas? And you said, hey, I would like one of those massage chairs like you had. I go, okay, I will tell Juan, your partner, to buy you a massage chair. And you go, that'll be great. He was asking me today what I wanted. I then reached out directly to Juan with a picture of the chair, a link, how he could get it, and he just wrote back one line, not happening.
He knew I told you to email him.
Yeah, he did not share your enthusiasm for the massage chair, which I use every night.
I would love that chair. Love
yeah,
that chair.
Yeah, that chair, I use it every day.
All right, the NFL is now, Is it your turn or is it me?
I think it's me.
It's to you. By the way, I was going to mention, you know, I'm not exercising right now, unfortunately, because I've cut my calories so low, but I'm down to 209. I'm going to beat Bergman.
If Bergman blows this, I will lord it over him for the remainder of our time at ESPN. He has assured me, and I have texts that I will share in the air, that this thing is a lock, that there is no way he is losing to you. So if he actually loses, it's all I'm going scorched earth on him. I will never bet on him again ever. Bergman,
I started at 217. I started at 217. Now I'm at 201.
No. You can't be.
No, I'm sorry.
You only have
started
to get to
217. 200. Now I'm at 209.
You said
209. Yeah.
And he has to get to 190. I don't know
where
he's at now. Okay.
All right.
As you guys know. A couple of years ago, the NBA allowed uniform sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Lakers uniform sponsor is Wish, which is an online marketplace like Amazon, only Wish has better prices. I wanted to see if these uniform sponsorships were working. Mace, let me start with you. Off the top of your head, can you name any NBA uniform sponsor for any team besides the Lakers? And then I'll give you guys some hints. But off the top of your head, can you name any?
The one that I know is Dallas Bumble?
No.
Somebody's Bumble.
It's not Dallas.
Somebody alive in the playoffs is Bumble. I can't think of another one.
The team that uses Bumble is the Clippers.
Ah, yeah.
Now, George, do you know any of the uniform sponsors?
I do. Harley Davidson is for Milwaukee.
Right.
You have Love's, which is a gas station company, I guess.
It's a restaurant,
For OKC.
Right. So some of these have worked for you.
Yeah,
you remember
some of them. Yeah.
Lindsay, how about you?
I don't know any of them, except I knew the Clippers were Bumble and that the Lakers were Wish, but that's it.
Okay, so now that doesn't necessarily mean that this isn't working. Because, if, for example, Mace, if you were going to buy a sponsorship, would you rather have the jersey or the court?
Court.
I'd rather the jersey
court.
Because the court, it's only on one part of the court, but the jersey is on every player on your team.
Okay, yeah, so, but I think it's so small and it just blends in. And this is living proof. I knew somebody was Bumble. I know the Lakers are Wish, and that's all I know.
Wait, question. So when you buy the jersey, it doesn't have the sponsorship on it?
It does.
That's a good question. Oh. Does
no, it does.
It does. Okay.
But you can opt out, like you can buy a jersey without it, but you can also buy an authentic game jersey with it. Okay, so for example, let me try a couple of these on you and see if it even works. Because what advertising is when you have to buy something, you think of that product.
Right.
The Celtics, for example, are an old school appliance company.
Sears.
Anybody know? Nope.
Sears.
Wrong.
Whirlpool.
Nope.
Is it GE?
GE, George, very good. General Electric is that. All right, the Grizzlies are the biggest company in Memphis. Anybody know what that is?
FedEx.
Graceland.
FedEx. Jorge's very good at this game.
I thought right. Graceland would be it.
The Orlando Magic is obvious.
Yeah, Disney.
Disney, right. The Suns, My hint to you would be modern finance. It has to do with the world of finance.
SoFi.
And the way you pay for things.
SoFi.
No.
PayPal. Visa.
Who? What'd you
PayPal.
Say? PayPal is correct.
PayPal.
And the Sixers have to do with events and how you get in.
Ticketmaster.
Close.
StubHub.
StubHub.
Wait, Jorge, you're a natural at this.
Yeah, Jorge's
so,
great.
So we'll see if these people all renew. I actually like it. Like, I didn't. Here's the key to a uniform sponsorship. It's ideal for a company like Wish. I didn't know what Wish was until they sponsored the Laker uniforms, and now I have the Wish app on my phone. So for them, it kind of they use the Lakers to introduce their product to the marketplace.
Right.
If you have an existing product that everybody knows about anyway, I'm not sure it's a match. But
well, I mean, you do it for your brand, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're
right.
some of those companies, FedEx, you're the local. Major like, corporation, so you want to sponsor
yeah, like
the Grizzlies.
They play in the FedEx Forum. For right. like, for example, I don't know what Bumble is.
Oh, Bumble is a dating app where the women are the ones that make the choice. Do I have that right, Lindsay? Have you ever used it?
No, I have not used it, but I think you have it right.
I think
the
that's
women
what
have
it
to
is.
Initiate the conversation.
Yeah, the women initiate the conversation. Yeah, I know somebody that met on Bumble and they actually got married. So it worked. By the way, Greg Bergman still at 202-203. He's trying to get to 190.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about this.
I'm ahead. I'm winning.
If he says he's still at 202-203, that means he's at 204.
yeah.
And he's got to get to 190, and you only need to lose 9 more pounds.
But 9 more pounds.
I think he's more disciplined than you.
No.
And he's younger than you.
I have not had sugar. This is over a week now. No sugar.
Hmm.
All right. The NFL is now overseeing the investigation by Beth Wilkinson into the Washington football team over alleged sexual harassment issues in the organization. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell informed Washington owner Dan Snyder of the change Monday night. As the investigation goes forward, all women who have non-disclosure agreements will be released from their NDAs. They will be free to tell their story to investigators. So first off, well, actually, do you think this is a sign that Daniel Snyder is in trouble? The fact that the NFL has brought in an independent investigator.
I'm starting to move that way. I'm still not there yet. Because, you know, apparently if you add up all the women on the Washington Post report that they've reported over these two huge exposés, that it's north of 40 women.
Yeah.
And if releasing them from their NDAs, which is critical, this is the thing that Michael Bloomberg would not do during his presidential campaign, because he knew it would be the end of him if he released them from the NDAs. I think that if the Redskins did negotiate, and an NDA stands for non-disclosure agreement, it means that you can say everything you know without penalty.
Right.
And that's a huge step. So I now think, I used to think there was a 1 in 10 chance that Daniel Snyder would be removed. I know you think it's closer to 7 or 8.
Yeah, I do.
I'm now up to 3 or 4.
So you're coming my way.
I'm moving towards you, yeah.
Yeah.
But I still think there's a bigger chance he won't be removed than there is he will be.
Okay.
I've been reading, Sally Jenkins and Christine Brennan, and
they've been great.
Are back there, have been writing a lot about this. And Sally now thinks that it could actually happen. She wrote an article yesterday in the Washington Post that said for the first time she believes that he may be out. She said she never really believed it before, but now she says it's possible.
Yeah, I thought from the beginning, and now I thought from the first Washington Post story, he was in trouble. The second Washington Post story, I thought that was nail in the coffin time. I think he's done. I think he's done. We have time for one more, John.
Okay. The New Yorker has an article up on their website asking this question. When it comes to presidential elections, does the vice president even matter? Have you ever changed your vote or made a determination about a presidential candidate based on who they choose for vice president?
Nope, not at all.
Me either. I think you can screw it up. Like, I think when John McCain picked Sarah Palin, he ruined everybody that was on the fence.
Yeah.
But so you can hurt but I don't think it can help you.
Well, you know, rule number one when you're picking a vice president is do no harm. You want somebody that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, Sarah Palin
obviously hurt John McCain. The other thing is, you know, sometimes you pick a vice president because you think you're going to carry a state because of it.
Right.
But, for example, this year, you know,
yeah,
the Republicans.
He already had California locked
up. Yeah, they have California, and Mike Pence is from Indiana. That's a red state, so that's going to go that way. I think at the end, the vice president. The vice president is interesting for those days during the convention and the one vice presidential debate. Other than that, I think meaningless.
Yeah, and it's very rare that the vice president gets elevated to president. I mean, in this century, it basically happened with Lyndon Johnson and Gerald Ford, right?
And George Herbert Walker Bush.
But he he ran for president after he was vice president. I'm talking about like the vice president would be forced into the presidency.
Oh,
I think
see.
That's only happened twice.
Yeah, it's extremely rare. You're right. It's just Ford and Johnson. So, yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, I know all that stuff is going on out there, and it's a big blaze. It's a big bonfire. Everybody's debating. I'm in a red state. I'm in a blue state. I'm for Trump. I'm against Trump. All that stuff. All that stuff is something that I like to keep to myself. Like to keep it to myself. Doesn't do us any good on the show. All right, coming up next for you, John, I want to put a question to you about the Dodgers.
Okay,
we've got David Schoenfeld coming up. He's got a really interesting take on the success of the Dodgers in the last 7 years. And he's going to join us then at 2:30. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg. And ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, 710 ESPN. What's going on? It is Tuesday. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for migrating from our afternoon slot to our midday slot. Back where we belong, where we wanted to stay. This was the perfect time of day to do the show. All right, so I mentioned this UFO thing a little while ago, and I forgot to do it, and Jorge pointed it out. So, John, Sunday night, a pilot recognized that there was someone flying with a jetpack near LAX.
Excellent.
Flying in a jetpack. Now,
was
I didn't
George
know.
George Jetson?
I didn't know we had this technology. Do we have jetpack technology?
Oh, sure.
No, do we really?
Yeah, I've seen guys. I mean, I've seen.
Yeah, there's definitely jetpacks flying
around. If you
around.
Just Google jetpack, guy with a jetpack, a whole bunch of videos will come up. But, I mean, we don't have it for everybody. It's like you
there's
need
There's like homemade jetpacks, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys
You're
like
flying
before,
over LAX in a homemade jetpack?
Yeah, like before football games, they've had guys fly into the stadium on jetpacks.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's. I think it's fascinating. I love all that stuff. I love all the technology stuff. Like, I would try a jetpack. I want the flying car. I want the driverless car. I want the Neuralink chip in the brain that puts the internet right in my head.
You're out of your mind, literally, with that.
No, literally, exactly. It's in my mind. So all that stuff. All right, so, John, David Schoenfeld is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Wrote a piece. He says, judge the Dodgers on seven straight titles, not the World Series crown they're still chasing. That is a take that I know you're going to disagree with.
I hate that take.
Yeah.
I think that I can't wait to talk to him.
See,
it means absolutely nothing if you don't win a World Series. You're the Atlanta Braves. The Braves won 14 straight division
and won
titles.
A World Series.
And won one World Series. That tenure is looked at as a failure.
Would you consider that tenure a failure?
14 years, one World Series? Yeah, it's underachieving.
I would not. I would say you got your World Series. 14 division titles is absolutely astounding. Seven division titles in a row is incredible. That's an incredible run.
Yeah, it's impressive, but it means nothing.
Disagree with you that it means nothing. It means that we're in it every single year.
Okay, and
every year we've got a chance. We're in position to win. The last 7 years, mm-hmm. we've gotten into the crapshoot.
Right.
And we had one World Series stolen from us altogether by the Houston Astros. So I think had they played it square, we would have our World Series championship.
But they didn't, and we don't. Like, do you think the Oakland A's are a huge success story up there?
Yeah, I actually do.
Okay, so I think they would argue that it won't mean anything unless they figure out a way to win a World Series.
They're in first place on a budget one quarter of what the Dodgers are spending.
Right, and they've won a bunch of division titles.
Yeah. I mean, that, given the limitations, I think the A's have achieved an awful lot.
Well, they've won a World Series more recently than the Dodgers have.
That is true. We did beat them in the World Series
in 88.
In 88,
and then they came back and won it in 90, right? Or did they? They won it in 89 the next year, the Earthquake World Series. They won.
Yeah. Now think about this, John. You asked me if I think the A's are a success. The A's have a payroll, the third lowest payroll in baseball, at $37 million.
Right. But what the question you're really asking here is, what do you judge yourself by?
Correct.
If you judge yourself by division titles, if that's your goal every year, the Dodgers are a tremendous success. I just, as a Dodger fan, don't. Here's another different way of putting it. The Lakers have won so many division titles, I couldn't even tell you how many they've won. They've won a ton of Western Conference titles. Nowhere in Staples Center will you see a division banner or a Western Conference banner. In other teams, you will. You'll see division banners. You'll see conference titles. You'll see those recognized and celebrated by teams all over the league. I just don't think the Dodgers should be one of those teams. And you're arguing that they should be.
Here's what I love about the Dodgers and Andrew Friedman. I don't think there is a better talent evaluator in baseball than Andrew Friedman. Found guys like Chris Taylor and Max Muncy and Justin Turner, who were really just role players or out of baseball altogether, and turned them into legit major leaguers, huge contributors to this team. They have maintained in their farm system. They didn't trade away Cody Bellinger. They didn't trade away Julio Urias. They didn't trade away Tony Gonsolin. They had a chance to do all of that to try to make short-term gains. And in the end, they're going to go down that 2017 draft, I think is what it was. We'll ask David about this. It included Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, Will Smith, and Gavin Lux, all in one draft. That is a really successful draft. So, yes, obviously want the World Series championship. Obviously, that's the thing that matters the most. But sustained success should not be ignored. They've been successful. They've made it to two World Series. They had one stolen from them. I still believe that I consider this Dodger tenure, this current ownership tenure, to be a success. You do not?
I think that they will. I think if we had Andrew Friedman on here right now with us, he would say it won't be a success unless we culminate it with a World Series. He will feel like he has failed. And I've heard Stan Kasten say this. He will feel like he has failed unless they can deliver a world championship.
And you think Stan failed in Atlanta where they won 14 straight division titles in a World Series. Yeah, but you said earlier, disappointing.
I think he would tell you he feels like they underachieved.
Yeah, I mean, Lonnie Smith, bad base running decision. Otherwise, it was two World Series. So, but that's an element of the crapshoot. The idea is to get into the crapshoot. It's funny. Jeff Passan said to us this week, and I think this is true. If the Dodgers get through their three-game series, they'll win it all. But the three-game series is completely up for grabs because in three games, anything can happen. Anybody can win two games. So if they can get through the first three-game series, Passan thinks they win the World Series. But the crapshoot element is that three-game series, which I hate.
Sure, and I don't know if I agree with Jeff. I think that where they've run into trouble before, they always get past the first round.
Yeah, but this is a different first round, John.
Yeah, but where they've run into trouble before is when they get to the big stage. Then Kershaw, for some reason, inexplicably can't pitch. They've been unable to close on the biggest stage. You've been at all the World Series games in the 2 years that they lost. So it seems to me that they would say the Dodgers would say, unless they win it, it's not a successful season.
I think they would see it in more relative terms. I think if you ask Stan Kasten, do you think you've been successful here with the Dodgers, he would say absolutely.
Well, let's ask, next time he comes on, let's ask. I think his answer would be, to this point, yes, but I'll consider it a disappointment, my tenure here in Los Angeles, a disappointment, if I can't deliver a World Series. Because he was able to do it in Atlanta. And
what I don't like, though, John, is they don't. We just take for granted that they're going to win the division every year without understanding how hard it is. It's hard to win a division title. It's hard. And it's not like the NBA where I don't even know who's in what division. The divisions are meaningless.
Yeah, this year I couldn't tell you who's in the
division. I pull up the league and I look at 1 through 8. I don't care what division anybody's in. You don't get any extra points for winning the Atlantic or the Central or whatever the hell their divisions are named. The West, the Pacific. What are they named, John?
By the way, do you think most of the Dodger fans, we should maybe, after we talk to David, we should maybe take some calls on this. Do you think most of the Dodger fans agree with me or agree with you?
Agree with you.
I do too.
Yeah, I think they agree with you. And I think, by the way, on an emotional level, I feel that way. On an emotional level, I feel like my heart got torn out every time they lost. But the point is, there are teams that go years without making it into the playoffs. Years. And the Dodgers are there every year for the crapshoot. So being in it is a huge element of success. And then you need a little bit of luck. And for example, in the 2017 World Series, they didn't get any luck. In fact, they faced a team that cheated them out of the World Series championship. So David Schoenfeld's coming up next. I think it's a really interesting point because we do measure the Dodgers and say it's a failure. And I think they deserve more credit than we're actually giving them. Let's get into that coming up next with David Schoenfeld from ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Don't forget, this coming Friday, streaming on Disney Plus, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. John, will you watch Mulan this weekend?
Sure, why not?
Looks like it's got great fight sequences. I love that... What do they call that? That wire fighting where everybody's on a wire and in the air. Really cool looking stuff. So Mulan streaming on Friday. I think I did a good job explaining what the fighting is, too. The strings and the wires and all that business.
Yeah, you did.
Everybody understands it now. All right. So David Schoenfeld is going to join us here in a minute from ESPN. Is he on the line?
Yeah, we got him.
Cool. David, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Everything is good.
Good, David, and we appreciate you coming on. Explain the heart of your piece. That I think what you're arguing here is the Dodgers should be held up as examples of success just because they won 7 straight divisions. Is that it, pretty much?
Well, I mean, that's pretty successful, isn't it? I don't know what you guys want. Oh, wait, maybe a World Series championship.
Right. But, yeah, see, I completely disagree with you on this, but go ahead, explain what your point is, and we can get into it.
Well, look, you know, very few teams in baseball history have had this kind of extended run. You know, you throw in a couple hundred win seasons along the way. But, yes, ultimately, you know, you have to win a title. The 2001 Mariners didn't win. Those late 90s Indians teams that were great, they didn't win, you know, ultimately the World Series. So, yeah, there's no doubt this era of Dodgers history needs a title for them to you know, validate all the good stuff they've done.
They stole one title from us. You know that, right? In 2017, that's our World Series trophy. It happens to be located in Texas right now. So David, I was just talking to John, and you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I follow the game really close. I say it's really hard to win division titles, and I don't know if there's a better talent evaluator in the game of baseball than Andrew Friedman and his team and his scouting team. finding guys like Chris Taylor and Max Muncy and Justin Turner, who were kind of cast-offs from all over the place. They had that monumental draft, the 2017 draft?
Yeah, 2016, I think, with Gavin Lux and Will Smith and all those guys. That was one of the best drafts ever.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable draft. And that should count for something. I know it's all about the trophy and it's all about the rings, but the success, the sustained success, is really hard to do, and it should count for something.
No, I absolutely agree. I think we underrate that. You know, I think the way we view sports has changed a little bit in the last 10, 12 years, that it's only about winning that final game of the year, which I think is unfair. Yeah, say, you know, look at the run the Yankees had, right, in the 90s and the 2000s. Yeah, they had that initial young core with Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Rivera. But how did they really keep it going? They just bought free agents, right? Jason Giambi and Gary Sheffield and then CC Sabathia and so on. You know, and eventually it ran into a brick wall and they had a couple, you know, down years. But the Dodgers, other than, you know, the Mookie Betts trade, that's not how they've done it. It's totally, you know, finding not only free talent like Chris Taylor and Max Muncy, but making good trades and, most importantly, developing that farm system. This thing is going to go on for a long, long time, you know, although they do now have a rival a few miles to the south.
Yes, they do.
We're talking to David Schoenfeld from ESPN. You guys are both out of your minds. What you are arguing, David, is that the Buffalo Bills were a big success. Think about it. The Buffalo Bills, by any reasonable measure, went to four straight Super Bowls. That's great. Ask any Bills fan if they think that era was successful. If the Dodgers, I'll take you a step further. If the Dodgers don't win a title, not only will Dodger fans look at this era as a tremendous failure, they're going to hold it against Clayton Kershaw. Mason did it last year. He canceled Kershaw Day. He said he's had it with Kershaw. Kershaw is statistically, David, and I know you know this, the greatest regular season pitcher in Dodgers history. You can put him up against him. You put him up against Koufax. In the regular season, Kershaw is unbelievable. If you ask Dodger, if they don't win a World Series with Kershaw, if they blow the Kershaw window, and you ask Dodger fans to rank him in Dodgers history, they'll put him behind Koufax, they'll put him behind Fernando, they'll put him behind Drysdale, they'll put him behind stinking Don Sutton with his perm. I'm telling you, he has to win, and the Dodgers have to win.
Right, but you're assuming that the Dodgers era is based on Kershaw's window, and I think the point is that long after Kershaw, this machine is still going to work, whether it's Dustin May or it's Tony Gonsolin or it's Julio Urias or it's any of the young arms in the organization. There's not a Kershaw window.
David, you can't claim any of it works if they don't win a title. You honestly disagree with that?
Wait, 25 years from now, when they're bringing back Clayton Kershaw for, you know, some special Clayton Kershaw.
He will get booed.
No, he will not get booed.
He will get booed.
You are ridiculous. He will not get booed.
Look, I understand it, no doubt. I mean, look, Kershaw versus Madison Bumgarner, regular season, it's not close. Kershaw's a Hall of Famer. Bumgarner, regular season, he's not. But, you know, Bumgarner has three rings. There's no doubt that means something. Yeah, you're right. The Buffalo Bills analogy is a pretty good one. Look, I'm from Seattle. We had those great teams from 95, really to 03.
Right, and that team, that 114-win team, is looked at as a failure, are they not?
Well, Mariners fans, maybe because we don't have the history of other titles like Dodgers do back in the day.
Right.
The 2001 team, actually, it's looked on too fondly, but Mariners also haven't made the playoffs in 20 years, so that's sort of the last good team they
have. And you made, by the way, the really good point. The Mariners haven't made the playoffs in 20 years, and the Dodgers are in it every year.
Well,
the point is to get into the crapshoot.
The argument here is we're making the classic Hollywood argument. Is it better to have loved and lost or to never have loved at all. Because what David, the heart of your argument is we need to recognize the greatness of these Dodgers for their consistency and how good they've been winning division titles. And my argument is there are certain markets in this country where division titles mean absolutely nothing. And Los Angeles is one of them. The Lakers don't hang banners for division titles or conference championships, and either do the Dodgers, and they never will. This argument that the Dodgers are great is hollow.
With a couple of my coworkers who are huge Dodger fans, and
I bet they're like me.
They will not be happy until that they win that last game.
Good.
So I know where you're coming from. I agree, but I just look, we do, and I know it's easy to acknowledge success, but yes, you got to win. You know, and that's why this postseason is going to be absolutely fascinating, because even with what the Padres just did, L.A.'s still the best team. They're the team to beat. But, man, all the pressure is on the Dodgers.
See, it's a very nuanced point that you're making. And, you know, that is not exactly what works in sports talk radio. Nuance tends to get lost here.
Right? Look at the Braves of the 90s. They won 14 straight division titles, I think, if you don't count.
And one World Series.
And, if they didn't get that one, that era would be looked at as a tremendous letdown, as a tremendous failure. Just like you're making the Buffalo Bills argument. Do you disagree with that?
Well, let me throw this out at you. Over the last 23 years, would you rather have been a fan of the Dodgers or the Marlins, who won two titles but only made the playoffs twice?
Marlins, I have the rings. I want to be the team at the end of the year that has a championship. The Lakers judge themselves on one thing. Did we win the title? If they don't, the season is a failure. When did the Dodgers become less than that?
Are you saying that right now, for example, if the Lakers lose to the
Clippers
in the Western, it's a failure?
Ask Rob Pelinka. We'd see what he says.
What about they get to the finals and they lose to Milwaukee? Failure.
There is. Rob Pelinka has said it multiple times.
Win the title or the season is a failure. The whole journey is meaningless then.
Not meaningless, but less than. It's not anything to be celebrated. And David, what you're arguing is this is something to be celebrated, right?
I think it is. I'm a baseball fan. I think we also need to separate baseball from basketball or football. Basketball, the best team is going to win a best of seven series 98% of the time. You know, other maybe that one year the Warriors lost. The wins record.
What the Warriors said after they lost that 73-9 season? Don't mean a thing without the ring. It means nothing to them.
They'd already won one. But, you know, baseball, we all know it doesn't work that way in baseball. The playoffs, as we've seen, it's a crapshoot to a certain extent.
Blah, blah, blah. Give me one title.
You got to win a title or this. They will not be recognized as a great all-time great team. I agree. You got to win, but let's at least acknowledge it's been.
No, I will not acknowledge.
Absolutely acknowledge it,
David.
It's a tremendous success.
Oh, please, you're out of your mind.
Tremendous success. No World Series, and that's a huge disappointment and heartbreaking. But this run has been a tremendous success. And by the way, this run is going to continue indefinitely.
You cannot, listen to the two of you, you cannot quantify something as I'll use your words, Mace, tremendous success if it never, ever ends in a championship. You failed.
But you're
it's
just
less
counting
than.
All the joy you get every regular season. Marlins fans have no joy every season because they're always terrible.
If I was a Marlins fan, David, and we were having this.
If you were a Marlins fan, you would be the one.
No, if I was a Marlins fan, we were having this argument pre-pandemic in a restaurant, I would look at David, take out my two rings, and flop them on the table.
But then you're like, look, and I know this from my Seattle friends who are still relishing in, you know, what happened 20 years ago. Like, get over it, you know. Okay, great. The Marlins won in 2003. Been 17 miserable years since then.
So, David, let's pivot a little bit and talk about what the Padres did yesterday. They're now, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be the number two seed. Are they the second best team in the National League?
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the National League really looks, you know, basically a bunch of crap to me. I get anything can happen. But, yeah, Dodgers and Padres, to me, have clearly separated themselves. The Braves have no pitching. Cubs don't impress me. Phillies, they can hit. They can't pitch. Yeah, it's Padres, Dodgers. So as a baseball fan, I'm hoping that's what we get in the NLCS because that will be something to watch.
Can you imagine the NLCS would be Dodgers, Padres? That's crazy.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Hey, David, who's had a better century this century, Giants or Dodgers?
Yeah, I know. Look, yeah, three titles versus zero. Yeah, you're going to take the three. I know.
But the Giants have not – they've not been awful the rest of the time.
They've been awful recently.
Yeah, they've had two bad years, but they were on a run.
Yeah, they were good back with, you know, the Bonds days, of course, you know. But, yeah, look, I know. It's like you said, you flash that hand with the rings, and that's all that matters. But
it will be a tremendous disappointment, not a whatever Mason called it, a tremendous success. It will be a devastating disappointment if the Dodgers go through this whole run. As you have highlighted in your piece, David, and I encourage people to read it, and you explain why they've been so good, and you make good points as to why they're going to be good for a while. If they never win a title, your article means nothing. The Dodgers run means nothing. Get me a championship or get out. And I think that's how most Dodger fans feel.
I should ask this to my Dodger friend. So this year when the Dodgers, I think even more than the last few years, are better than ever, to me clearly the best team, if they don't win this year, is that the most disappointing?
Yes, 100% most disappointing, David.
But Mason would use the phrase tremendous success because they won their eighth straight division title.
Two things can be true,
John. He doesn't even know who's in the division.
Two things can be true.
No, not in this case. What we're talking about is, was the season a success or not? And if they don't win it, it's not.
What about your friend Phil Jackson? It's about the journey, not the destination.
Phil Jackson won 11 rings in 13 years. How's that for the destination?
So if the Padres win the World Series,
it will kill Dodger fans, David.
They've had a better century than the Dodgers.
It will kill Dodger fans if the Padres win.
That's a good question. Would it mean they had a better century than the Dodgers?
They would have a ballpark in downtown San Diego, and they would have got one over on the Dodgers, who haven't won squat since '88. The Padres would sell all the merchandise, and they'd be the hot new team. If the Padres win, Dodger fans will be miserable.
Oh no, it will be awful. It will be an awful experience. I just think two things can be true. I think we have to acknowledge the success of the organization.
And
if they don't win, I'm allowed to be devastated about that too. But the great thing is, I know we're in it again next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. This run is going to go on indefinitely. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 division titles.
Well, go ahead and get 14. The Braves at least got one.
We got none. We will get one.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to be this year.
David, you're a good sport for coming on and
letting us kick
this around with you.
No, all good fun, and I hope you guys are there cheering Kershaw in 25 years.
I do too.
Yes.
But he's going to get booed if they never win a title.
He will not get booed. Boo! He will never get booed.
Where's my ring?
Never get booed. Thanks, David.
All right. Take care.
Mason, you were killing Kershaw after he lost that World Series.
No, but I'm not. But in 25 years, I'm going to boo Clayton Kershaw. No, I'm going to remember the good stuff.
You booed him 2 years ago.
I don't remember the bad stuff. I remember the good stuff.
Yeah, if he doesn't win a title, there is no good stuff.
You don't boo Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You really think Clayton Kershaw in 25 years will walk into Dodger Stadium and will get booed?
Oh, the Blue Hairs will cheer for him, but
everybody will cheer for him.
Yeah, he asked Clayton Kershaw if his career will be a success if he never wins a title.
He knows he needs the title, but that doesn't negate everything else that he's done.
Yeah, but you can't use, as you did, the phrase "the Dodgers are a tremendous success."
They are.
If they never win a title,
tremendous success.
Until they win a title, they're just okay.
We're in it every year, and this is the year we win. All right, coming up next
I just want to weigh in on this really
quick. Oh, yeah, please.
For what it's worth, LeBron said in 2015 when they lost in the finals, he said, "I would rather not make the playoffs at all than lose in the NBA finals." So.
Yeah, Tiger Woods and Kobe Bryant. Second place sucks, all right? There's one place, first, and the Dodgers haven't been in it since 1988. win a title, we'll celebrate your stuff.
Still think the comparison between the NBA and Major League Baseball is wrong.
Okay, so how are
baseball
they not...
Baseball is a completely different animal.
Right, but how are the Dodgers not the Buffalo Bills?
Do you really consider the Buffalo Bills to be a crushing, depressing failure?
Ask any Bills fan,
yes,
of course.
Yes, totally.
Of course. They went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and never won.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was sad. It was sad.
They're the biggest
disappointment. How many more World Series do the Dodgers need to lose when you're there in person before you realize that unless they win it, it doesn't matter?
Of course it matters that they win it. I'm just saying the fact that we're in it counts for something.
Nope.
We of course it does.
Nope. You know what it counts for? Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas coming back in 25 years and getting cheered. That's what you got. Clayton Kershaw, bring him back. Hey.
Of course. Bring him back. He's going to throw out the opening pitch, and we're going to say, that's Clayton Kershaw.
That's the guy that never won a ring.
That is Cooperstown Kershaw.
That is non-championship Clayton.
By the way, I think this debate will be moot after we get through this year's playoffs, because I think this Dodger team is absolutely loaded and they're going to win it all. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has a bunch of stuff to throw at us. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, we're going to do some Radio Tinder. Don't forget everything we say today, because anything we say today could be on the Pop Quiz Friday at 3:15. When we're giving away the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from the great John Patterson at OC Mazda, Tustin Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda. This is a brand new Mazda CX-30. Win Friday, and you got to know something about every show this week. It's going to be a tough quiz. Know something on Friday, get all five right, and you get one of only four keys that may start the brand new Mazda CX-30. So stay tuned, pay attention. Everything, Linz, what do you got for us today?
All right, guys, starting off with one of my, and I believe your, Mace's favorite podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, I love Joe.
His podcast has officially moved to Spotify in a reported $100 million deal, but it seems like not all of his episodes made it onto the streaming platform. On Monday, fans of the JRE podcast noticed that dozens of past episodes with controversial guests like Alex Jones, David Seaman, and Owen Benjamin, to name a few, are missing from the new Joe Rogan Experience channel on Spotify. Fans who thought Rogan was going to be given more freedom on the platform were not happy about the missing episodes. So this one might apply more to Mace, but also hypothetical for you, John. Would you sign a lucrative deal to move your podcast exclusively to Spotify if they were going to censor your past episodes and or potentially future guests? Swipe left or swipe right.
I think we're assuming something maybe here that we shouldn't assume.
What's that?
That Spotify is the one who didn't post the episodes. Joe Rogan went through an issue about 3 weeks ago where somebody tried to cancel him, and he wasn't having it. He's already a self-made guy. He doesn't need it, but they found some old things he said that in 2020 probably don't fly as well as they did 4, 5, 6 years ago. You mentioned, Lindsay, one of those things is Alex Jones, who's a really controversial guy. Maybe Joe and his people went through some of those things and said, for whatever reason, people pull podcasts all the time.
Okay, so I think people are always trying to cancel Joe Rogan, and I think we've come to the conclusion that he's kind of like uncancelable because
right,
I feel
but why
like-
make it easier?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that he will eventually address this if, you know, he hasn't already. I think that if this were a decision he made, I think he would have addressed it. But let's put all that aside and just, you know, hypothetically asking you guys the question, would you sign, you know, this is supposedly the biggest deal ever in podcast history. Would you sign a deal like that if you knew that some of your content was going to be censored?
John, that's the question.
Sure.
Oh, you'd absolutely. Swipe right on that?
Oh, I absolutely would. I mean, when Mason and I agreed to come to ESPN, we know there's certain lines we can't cross that our competitors cross every day. But we work for ESPN that's owned by Disney. We got to keep it in the fairway.
The moment Dan Zampillo, our former boss who now works at Spotify, calls me and says, we want the Culture Pop podcast, see ya.
Especially if he offers you $100 million.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't think I'm $100 million level yet. I'm not yeah, Joe Rogan. But
Lindsay, to answer your question, every job comes with restrictions. The hardest thing about any job is doing what your boss wants. There are certain things that I can say and can't say when I'm an employee of the Lakers. And if I cross the line, you know, that's it. It's over. So,
but what about if they were going to actually remove old like content that you already did?
I would say if it was about to get me canceled, I would say thank you. There's probably shows. Well, Mace, you and I have talked about it before. There are shows we did 20 years ago that there are bits we did with Karen.
We couldn't do in
2020.
Yeah, and shouldn't have done then.
Right, but so am I glad that people can't just go back and dig those up? Sure.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking that maybe Joe did it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's an unbelievably talented guy. I think he's worth every penny that Spotify paid him. I think he's in a lot of ways the voice of a generation, young. 18 to 34, 18 to 49-year-old men listen to Joe in huge numbers, and he deserves every penny.
Okay.
Lindsay?
Sounds good. All right, next one here. Former New England Patriots receiver Josh Gordon was willing to part ways with a very important part of his career over the weekend. Gordon's Super Bowl 53 ring sold for $138,000 at an auction on Sunday. So Gordon didn't even play in Super Bowl 53 because he was actually suspended by the NFL in December of that year.
Was that the Patriots team that beat the Rams?
The 2018 Super Bowl? Okay. Season. Yep. Okay. But he was given a Super Bowl ring for his contributions to New England during the 2018 regular season, where he had 41 catches for 737 yards and 4 touchdowns. Now, as we all know, Gordon's still trying to get back into the league, trying to get reinstated after he was suspended for a fifth time last season. Do you think that selling his 2-year-old Super Bowl ring puts his motivation to play again, like, into question with teams that could be potentially thinking about signing him?
No, I don't think they're I would swipe left on that idea. I think that there are certain people that just aren't into, and I'm one of them, that just aren't into memorabilia. For example, Jerry West has sold all of his stuff.
Sure.
He just doesn't care. He just doesn't need it. He lived those experiences. He doesn't want it. He sold it. And John Wooden was the same way, donated a lot of the stuff.
Sure. Well, Vin Scully is auctioning off a lot of his personal stuff.
Yeah, so I wouldn't read too much into Josh Gordon selling his.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Scully have like decades and decades of stuff. They probably have more stuff than they know what to do with. Josh Gordon's only accomplishment was being part of a Super Bowl winning team. Like, that's the biggest accomplishment of his career was that season and what he contributed to it. So yeah, I think the fact that it's 2 years old, it's pretty fresh.
He's selling it for the money, just exclusively for the money.
Right.
And I'm going to guess, I mean, he's been suspended from the NFL countless times. I'm guessing he needs that money.
Right. But sometimes there's other stories to it. Like Meta World Peace had one ring in his whole career and he sold it to raise money for mental health awareness.
That would be a great story if it were to come out that Josh Gordon, you know, sold his ring for charity. But
yeah, he's just auctioning it off to the highest bidder because he needs the money.
Yeah, I wouldn't connect the dots that Lindsay's connecting. I wouldn't say because he's selling his ring, he really wouldn't be committed if I signed him. I'd have to talk to one hesitancy I would have in signing him is that he's been released 5 times or suspended five times. You know, that's
he can't
seem to get out of his own way.
I don't know what's left in the tank there because he's now been around. He's not played a lot of games in the last 5 years, but he is 5 years older. So I don't think the ring sale gives me any pause about signing him. To me, that judgment is made entirely on talent and what he's got right now. The Super Bowl ring, I think he's just selling for the cash.
Okay, last one here really quick. MotoGP star Miguel Oliveira has finally opened up about his long-term relationship with his stepsister, who he plans to marry in the near future. Oliveira won his first MotoGP race last week at the Styria Grand Prix. The 25-year-old star met his stepsister in his teens when his father married her mother. The wedding was going to be this year, but after changes to the MotoGP schedule, it was postponed. Is it okay for somebody to marry their step sibling? Swipe left or swipe right.
That's a tough one.
Let's be clear about how these two are related. Do they have either one of the same parents? They don't, right?
His stepsister, he met her in his teens when his father married her mother.
Right. So
his dad married her mom.
Yeah. So that's
not, no, they're not.
Yeah, they're not related.
There's no blood.
They're not blood related, but they're still related by marriage.
Mace, it's weird. It's not out of bounds. I think that if there was blood relation is where it gets tricky. If they're step kids.
Tricky.
Yeah. It's very tricky. I mean, you grew up together, all that stuff. But as weird as it is, I would say it's okay.
Yeah, I would not freak me out. Yeah, Lindsay, it sounds like it might freak you out.
I don't know if it freaks me out. I mean, definitely blood relationship, that totally freaks me out because then you get into, you know, incest and all that stuff.
Right.
My aunt and uncle, great aunt and great uncle, were first cousins.
Yeah, I don't think that's okay.
Yeah, it's weird now. it's weird to think about now.
I mean, you end up having kids with birth defects and all that kind of stuff. I mean, with the step siblings, to me, the reason why I find it so strange is because they've known each other since they were teens, young teenagers. And to me, I feel like, you know, I don't have a stepbrother or a stepsister, but I know like the bond that I have with my family is just, it's something that you can't explain. And to me, you'd think that you would go into a relationship with a stepbrother or sister with that same, you know what I mean? Like that would be the same type of bond, a brother,
right,
sister,
right,
sibling type bond. So to me, to be able to differentiate that between falling in love with somebody as like your soulmate who you want to marry, that would be extremely difficult to separate the two for me.
Yeah, love happens in weird ways. Love happens in weird ways. You just never know. Lins, thank you very much. There's Radio Tinder for you. Coming up, what are you doing to do coming up next, John?
Well, I think we should go back to what we were talking about before.
Schoenfeld?
Yeah, I have a question for you about that.
All right. Okay.
So you feel that the Dodgers' success winning 7 straight division titles, this year will be 8. Should be,
if they beat the Padres.
Yeah, should be celebrated and recognized by Dodger fans, right?
Yes.
Do you want to put up banners? Or do
No.
you want to put up a banner? Why not?
No.
Why not?
I don't. What we should celebrate is the sustained level of success. 7 straight division titles, 2 World Series. Unfortunately, one was stolen from us. The other one, Boston, I don't think we ever had a chance. But the idea of being there every year counts for something.
And I would argue that it counts for nothing unless you win it.
Definitely counts for something.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Should the Dodgers, we'll call it because I think they're going to win it this year, 8 straight division titles be celebrated and recognized, or do you agree with me that none of that means anything unless you win the title? You got to win it once. You got to do something with it.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. I'm definitely on the short end of this argument, but I am going to take it on. By the way, Alana Rizzo just tweeted this. The official Dodger starting rotation is Kershaw, Bueller when he gets done with the blister and comes back, Urias, Dustin May, and Tony Gonsolin. They are in no particular order, she says. And Alex Wood will be activated today, and he will be available in the bullpen. So the rotation is Kershaw, Bueller, Urias, May, Gonsolin.
And Wood is your in-case-of-emergency starter.
Yep, he's your depth guy, and he's your long relief guy. So interesting rotation. I think that's a rotation that's not just going to be good this year. That rotation is going to be good for a really long time.
Well, and by the way, there's – yesterday, someone asked Andrew Friedman, has there been any conversations with David Price about maybe coming back? And what was determined was the commissioner would have to clear him if he wanted to do that. But I guess it's something that could be discussed if they wanted to. So that would be interesting.
That would be. And, you know, he's got health concerns. If they go to a bubble for the playoffs, maybe that changes the way he feels about it.
I think it's unlikely, and I don't think that it's something that right now is on the table. I think that would be misleading, but it came up.
Yeah. All right. Streaming September 4, Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.